Welcome to this edition of Interface from SWGFM, one third of the UK's Safer Internet Centre.
This episode, released on Anti-Bullying Week, looks at one of the places children spend their online leisure time.
Roblox is massive. It had over 66 million daily users worldwide at the start of 2023. That's 22% more than the same time the previous year.
According to a recent survey, it's the most popular online gaming platform for UK under 13s.
Hi, my name is Laura Higgins. I am the Senior Director of Community Safety and Civility at Roblox.
Hi, Laura. Hello. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on the show.
It's wonderful that you're here. We are going to talk all things Roblox, aren't we? But I thought actually to get started, probably should ask you the basic question for those who don't know, what is Roblox?
So Roblox is a very popular platform. We are an immersive space where people can come together. They can create different games and experiences, which are then enjoyed by the whole community around the world. We have millions of different experiences, all created by this incredibly talented community of developers everywhere. So some of it could be playing a traditional game with a team of people or a competitive game. Some of them are more like hangouts or role play experiences that are really popular. So things like, it's very interesting watching kids who really want to have adult jobs. I think most of us would try to shy away from that. But things like running a pizza place and things like that are really popular. Some of them are experiences based around things like well-being, mindfulness. We have some great experiences, which we can maybe talk about later. And then there's more of a social aspect to the platform as well. So some places it is just a place like a virtual playground, for example, where people can just hang out and spend time together. But they can also go and enjoy virtual pop concerts. We've had fashion shows on the platform. We have sports events on the platform. So really anything that they could do in the real world, they can do in a virtual way on our platform. And it's just this kind of totally immersive, seamless place where they take their avatar with them. So it's sort of them and their friends can go to all these different experiences in one sitting.
Yeah. So it's like a platform for games and there's like millions of games on there. I came across another one. The description of it cracked me up. It was called The Normal Elevator. And this is the description. In this game, you ride an absolutely normal elevator. Yep, that's it. That was the description of the game. That's all you do. It's just an experience in a lift.
So when, you know, as I was going to pick up when you said this is a platform for games, we don't use the term games because games kind of signifies either something that's got a beginning, a middle and an end, or is like a competitive or a team sport of some sort. We have these experiences that might just be that you get in a lift and you go up and down. And that's, you know, so that's why we kind of call them experiences rather than games. I think that's a great example there. There's one of them where you can turn into a bird and just fly around and look at the beautiful scenery. You know, there's just really nice things. And one of my favourites that I was actually in last week. So we have, every year, we have a really huge celebration of our creator community. So we bring everyone together. The top 1,000 creators from around the world come to a two-day conference in America. And I've just got back. And it is inspirational just to see these incredibly talented and creative people all in one place. And that sense of community that they have for one another is just amazing. But it also gave me the opportunity to talk about some of these ideas that they've come up with. And we see a lot of, you know, really passionate creators who use their platform for good. So things like raising awareness of conservation issues, or the one I'm going to mention is about marine biology. And I've actually worked for this young man before. He's come on and sort of spoken about some of his previous projects, but he's really passionate about marine life in the real world. And he's a professional scuba diver. But he's created this experience, which I've now been in the demo of. And it is just the nearest thing. I've been scuba diving. It is the nearest thing I've ever seen in an online space. And it is so calm and quiet and mellow. And it's like, wow, if I could just go in there for 5 minutes a day, I think it would just take all my stress away. They're just incredible, the ideas that they come up with and the breadth of different experiences that we see.
Wow, that is amazing. I had no idea. I should, but I had no idea it was kind of that range of experiences. Princess, have you been on Roblox? You used Roblox?
No, just hearing you talk about the actual essence of Roblox is making me question, what was the goal of Roblox? Because when I first heard about Roblox, I was comparing it to my days when it was like Movie Star Planet, Club Penguins, Ben Weevil. So I was thinking, what's the difference between Roblox and these type of online platforms, because it was the same where you had little mini games in there, and you can talk to people and you can do different things. But then hearing you kind of say the type of experience of what Roblox is, what's the goal for Roblox? Like, what's it supposed to be?
That's a really great question. And it was quite sweet hearing you mention those different games, because I actually still work with most of the people who ran those games.
No.
and I can promise that they're all really good people. And they were really good experiences, actually. They were kind of the first safe places for kids to be online. So kudos to all of those people you mentioned.
Yeah, I loved it.
But yeah, so the big difference between us and those things is that we don't create anything. All of those platforms, whilst, you know, if you think about Movie Star Planet, there's a creative element. You can dress up your avatar and you can do like the fashion shows and things like that. But they still have built the platform, and it's very much a linear kind of, these are the different experiences you can do within it. We're more like, our boss actually talks about us as a utility. We literally provide the software, the servers, the safety tools, the moderation, but everything else on the platform, we don't make any of the experiences. The community create everything. It is all down to their imagination. We have something called Roblox Studio, which is the first place where any budding creators have to go and visit, and I would encourage you guys to go and have a visit. There are some really simple ways to learn on there as well. There are like creator challenges where it teaches you step by step how to build one of these experiences. But some of it can be really simple, drag and drop style, to just build some of these games and learn how to develop. And then it just can get more and more complex. And of course, some of the experiences that we've already mentioned, these people are now professional developers using the tools that we're providing for them. And where we started, so we were actually never built as a play or as a games platform. It was a tool used in schools. It was for physics lessons, so that kids could carry out physics.
Gosh.
Yeah. So kids could carry out physics experiments that they couldn't do in the real world. So a good example being, what would happen if you dropped a car off the Empire State Building?
Why?
Clearly, we couldn't do that, but they gave them the tools to use blocks and these little blocky shapes to carry out these experiments.
I feel like I've used that in like my primary school when you just said that.
It might be possibly, you may possibly have done.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, so that was where it came from. It was created for kids and for use in schools. But what was interesting was when the kids were kind of off duty, then seeing the things that they were creating outside of the actual classroom experiments and just their incredible imagination. And so from that, Roblox was born, essentially. And just, okay, let's just let the kids go wild, use their imagination, give them all the tools that they need to be able to build these experiences. And just the evolution of that, from that really simple blocky thing, then building out, you know, since I joined Roblox, I've been there just over 5 years now, watching the creativity and the talent that this community's grown up with Roblox. So one of our fastest growing age groups now is 17 to 24. And a lot of those are people who used to come on Roblox many years ago as kids and play or have little experiments and make these small, you know, experiences, and now coming back and they're fully fledged games developers building on the platform. So we've had to really innovate in the space because they want to create things that look like AAA games. So, you know, they want to build games that stand up against Modern Warfare or, you know, other similar sort of high-end games, Zelda and things like that.
One of the reasons that we've got you onto the podcast this month is because we've got Anti-Bullying Week. And the theme this year is make a noise about bullying. So it's about feeling empowered to do something positive to counter the harm and the hurt that bullying causes when we experience it online. How does Roblox empower players so that they have a positive experience while gaming?
That's great. And, you know, we're huge supporters of Anti-Bullying Week every year. It's a really, really important time for families particularly to have this conversation. So thank you very much again for sort of being part of raising that awareness. So Roblox, we're all about community. Our number one tenet is respect the community. So for us, that includes you use the word empowerment, and that's a key thing. Now, the work that I do specifically at Roblox, the Civility Initiative, this is about us trying to empower the community to be resilient, confident, skilled in knowing how to manage their own safety and others, and keeping these healthy communities online. So there are many ways that we go about that. A lot of it is, when we talk about community, of course, we do mean the Roblox creators and the Roblox players. But actually, the community is much broader than that. So it is supporting the parents to work with schools, so they also know how to talk about it and understand how the platform works. So it can be as basic as making sure that people know how to spot signs of something that's negative. You know, it could be, you know, we've done some work around how to talk about things. So whether that's from a parent to a child or whether it's a child to child, like how to problem solve, how to resolve conflict in an appropriate way. These are skills that we need to learn in the real world, but actually they're just as important in an online space, particularly one where you can kind of chat with other people in the community. We make sure that reporting is really, really easy throughout the platform. So you can report people, you can report experiences, you can report chat, and it's in the game. And then there are separate places where you can go to a report button. So we really try to make sure it's very obvious that it's there. You can mute people and you can block people. And of course, you know, particularly for the younger people in the community, those are the three simple things that we just really want to reinforce with young people. You know, it's just give you the tools to do that. We also, one of the things that's beautiful, because we have this real sense of community on the platform, we try to instill the values up front. And what we see is the kids owning it. So you will see them managing the community themselves. So we do have text chat for under 13s on the platform. We have very strict filtering. So they can't share any personal information. They can't share telephone numbers or addresses or usernames and things like that. And it also, of course, filters out any kind of profanities and harassment and all of those sorts of things. But people can still be mean without swearing or saying those sorts of words. And what we quite often see is there'll be like this rallying that goes around of like, that's mean. We don't like that sort of thing in this game. Go somewhere else if you're going to be like that. And it's just wonderful to see that. And then all these other upstanders will kind of go, yes, no, that's right. That's not nice. But then there's also this kind of restorative feel that we see sometimes if they don't like this idea of cancelling people. And we regularly see these conversations where they're like, well, we should give them another chance because maybe they didn't know. And to see young people being that thoughtful at this age is really, really affirming for us that the sort of work that we do is effective.
Is that new then? Like if you went back a few years, would you have seen that kind of behaviour, or is that something that's developed over time?
I think it's part of the Roblox community. I think we've always instilled this real positivity. And for a lot, particularly for the younger ones, I think we're one of those first places where they're testing out what it's like to be online. So Princess, you mentioned some experiences where there was a little bit of communication available, but it was, you know, not quite in the same way with Roblox, where it's much more kind of freeform and immersive and all these different experiences. As our community's grown, I think it's about us putting the right guardrails in place. Some of those other games and experiences that used to be around some time ago, the rules were really strict. And one of the things that's really worked for us is that gentle balance of let the kids have a little bit of experience to build the resilience, to test out. You know, clearly we don't want anyone to be hurt on the platform, but kids have got to kind of dip a toe in and test what works for them and hopefully in a non-harmful way. So, you know, some of the things that's happening on the platform now, of course, is, as I mentioned, we've really, you know, we used to talk about aging up as a platform because we were watching this increasing over 13s and so on. No, now we're like, well, we have aged up. We've got all these young adults on the platform. So how do we create a space where we can have 10-year-olds happy and safe and enjoying what's appropriate for them? And then also having this older cohort who are also doing what's suitable for a 17-year-old, for example. So we've introduced something called experience guidelines. It's like an age rating that you'll see other places. So we have things that are appropriate for everyone, things that are appropriate for 9+, 12+, and then 17+. There is ID verified age for 17+. And so what we're actually, as part of that, is having these experiences that show much more adult themes and allowing much more freedom of speech. Because if you're 17 and over, one of the experiences that's come out, that's one of our first verified 17+, is basically set in a pub, which of course, you know, wouldn't be an appropriate game or experience for a sort of an under 12 or whatever, but it's totally harmless. And it's just a hangout And we're not seeing any toxicity that's an increase from what we would expect from the younger kids. You know, even though they've been given this little bit more freedom, perhaps to use different language, you know, they can use a few swear words in there. You know, we're very strict still on, of course, no sort of harassment or hate speech or anything like that. But the tightness around the restrictions around speech are a little bit loosened because that's what the community want and what is appropriate for them. For me, moving into the tech industry and just seeing how incredible these data scientists are, the engineers that are working on these solutions. You know, we have child psychology specialists in our policy teams who are informing practice around how we develop these tools. The process behind it is just fantastic. It's so thoughtful. They really want to be like the gold standard in safety and civility. You know, we have this opportunity to work with the community to make them better online citizens wherever they go. And I think that's something that's really at the heart of what we do. It's not just about keeping Roblox safe, but actually about building these really good online humans.
I'm thinking about our educators who are listening and thinking, okay, that sounds great, right? Is there anything, you know, from your experience, any little nuggets, little, you know, pockets of wisdom, tools, techniques, anything that would be helpful for educators to be aware of or how to have conversations with children, you know, that would be helpful from your perspective?
We have a whole education team at Roblox as well. So they are building out curriculum. They're actually refreshing it at the moment. So some of it is very much the creator thing. So it's more the kind of computing side of things. But alongside that, they're working on digital citizenship, media literacy, tackling misinformation, civility, all of those sorts of things. So go visit our education site. We'll share all of these links with you. I'm sure that we'll be able to share that at the end.
We'll pop them in the show notes.
Yeah. I would recommend that you go and have a look at those. You know, from our point of view, we're one of the founding members of the Digital Wellness Lab as well, which is led by Boston Children's Hospital and Harvard Medical. The focus for us is about well-being, positive mental health, positive interactions online. So working with those partners, you know, there's some great resources that they have that we try to amplify to the community as well, that tackle things like screen time and excessive or problematic use. And from our point of view, a lot of us at Roblox are parents as well. A lot of our exec team are a bit older. And, you know, we want kids to be healthy. We don't want them to be on Roblox for 5 hours a day. We want them to be outside running around, doing sports, hanging out with their friends in real life. I think on the back of the pandemic, that really changed everything. We heard all the time Roblox was a lifeline because school kids could have a private server and hang out together and do their birthday parties online. And families in different parts of the world were able to connect and come together on the platform. And that's great. And it was a necessity at the time, but we're not there now. So I think, you know, having those conversations, we encourage families to, you know, have a really healthy balance. I think that's really important. I feel for schools. I know it's a tricky one. We've been here many times before in my previous work where I was at the Southwest Grid for Learning. You know, we used to have rumours that kids were all playing GTA all night. They knew everything. And of course, it turned out they were actually watching YouTube videos. But they were so credible that they sounded like they were playing it all the time. I think there's a bit of that happens with Roblox as well. Of, you know, it becomes a bit of an all-around obsession. So as much as they might be playing it, they're talking about it, they're reenacting it. It becomes such a thing. And so, you know, in some ways that's kind of sweet, but also, you know, we don't want it to become problematic in families.
This is Interface, a podcast for educators about digital and online life from Southwest Grid for Learning. We will be back with Laura Higgins from Roblox in just a minute.
The Interface podcast is all about keeping children, young people and education communities safe, happy and confident in everything relating to technology and online life.
And the other thing to know is that SWGFL, the people behind Interface, have a whole host of support, tools and resources. We also have a number of helplines available. One of these is POSH, the Professionals Online Safety Helpline, which is open to any educators and professionals who need support with an online safety issue. Give us a call.
Thanks, Jess. And not only that, schools and other organisations can download the Report Harmful Content button to add to their website to support any user over the age of 13 in reporting anything they experience online that they find harmful or worrying.
Also, take a look at our 360 degree safe tools. These tools support a comprehensive, whole school approach to online safety. There's also Project Evolve, an educational toolkit to support digital competency in children and young people. There is a lot available, and it's free.
Free is always good, and you're right, Jess, it is a lot. And I appreciate it's a lot for you to take in, listening like this. So don't worry if you've been scrabbling around for a pen or you're not sure where the pause or rewind buttons are. You can find all of this information online at swgfl.org.uk. And you can also find us on Twitter and Instagram with the handle at @swgfl_official.
Also, we've put all the links you need in the show notes for the Interface series that you'll find in your podcast player.
Thanks for sticking with us. This is Princess Laval with Jess Macbeth. Back to our conversation with Laura Higgins, Senior Director of Community Safety and Civility at Roadblox. You guys seem to have thought a lot about, you know, the safety, so there's such a strong community. And I was wondering how do people like report? How do they know how to report? Is that something that you guys kind of advertise, or when you go onto Roadblox itself, is it like within the learning? It's not the learning, but you know when you kind of set up an account and they kind of show you everything, is e-safety within that type of setup?
We don't have that type of setup, and that's a really good point for you to raise, because it's something that I would really love to see, and it's something we're working on, so that we have an onboarding experience for total novices that really explains the, not just the how-to on the platform, but as you say, that kind of, here's an introduction to being online. Here's what we expect of you. Here's what you can expect from us. There has been a really big movement, and things that are happening and have happened at Roblox, for example, to make sure that our community standards are really easy to understand for anyone of any age. So that's been a really big piece of work, is really important to us. And just making sure that we can get that in front of people up front. So you come on the platform and you know, as I say, what the rules are and what the expectations are. But alongside that, as I say, is the pledge of here's how we can protect you and here's how you can protect yourself. But yes, essentially, if you just jumped onto the platform, you are led through a sign-up process. And that sign-up process opens up the opportunity to set privacy settings, put safety settings in place. We have a whole raft of tools for parents. So if you're a parent coming on and you have an under 13 and you want to work with them to make sure the experience is appropriate for them, you would go into the section. It's very clearly marked parental controls. It's PIN controlled so that your child can't go in and change them once you've let them go off to play. You can set spend limits. You can set the types of experiences that your child can go on. So back to the experience guidelines that I mentioned with the kind of age verified levels, you can set whether, and it's at your discretion, whether you feel that your child is actually old enough to go on a 12 plus or not, and also communication. So who they can talk to, who they can get messages from, all of those sorts of things. When it comes to the report function, it's really in your face.
Okay.
The minute you jump into an experience, you literally get a little toolbar that says, you know, escape, as in leave the experience, those sorts of things. But report is there really loud and clear. And when you click on it, it just gives you all those options of report a player, report the experience, etc. So, and we repeat that throughout the platform. So as I say, even from the homepage, there's a report function there, and it is really obvious it's a flag. And as I say, then there's us having those conversations with the broader community to help to have those conversations with kids of here's how you use it, as well as the visual cues.
I really didn't realise how big Roblox is. Like, I have a few cousins and friends, younger siblings, and like you hear about it. I think I saw something about like the Roblox economy, something like that. I had no idea just how big it is expanding to be. So how do you continue to police Roblox as it continues to expand? Because it's also in so many countries as well.
We are very much a safety by design model. I think it's very difficult to retrofit safety onto a platform when it grows to the scale that we are. So it, as I mentioned, it's been really thoughtful and iterative. So we've always been thinking, right, what tools do we need that can scale to be able to manage these sorts of audiences. So we grow in people, we grow in tools, we grow in, as machine learning and AI have become better and better, we're building out new tools using those to help us to scale as well. We work really proactively with law enforcement. We're one of the few platforms who proactively make reports to NCMEC, which is the official body that you have to submit reports of potential grooming to. Our rationale for that is we'd rather report somebody and it not be true, but it prevents any harm both on our platform, but from them being a bad actor somewhere else. So that's always been our stance and we continue to do that. We work really closely with the National Crime Agency here in the UK. We're on the working group that they run for the games industry. So I think those sorts of things help us to understand what's happening out there so we can try to prevent those harms. That's a really key thing. Is kind of internally feeding in that intel.
You're paying people to play all day and have these wonderful experiences and meditation. And
I get to play a little bit. I get to play a little bit.
The wrong job.
But yeah, you know, we do have people who really are there to sort of weed out any potential serious harms.
Mystery shoppers, basically. Mystery shopping type thing, but just, yeah.
Yes, but they come from places like the FBI and...
That's so cool.
It is cool, isn't it, Princess?
It is very cool.
This is kind of like a fun fact question then, because of how many countries Roblox is in, are there different digital laws in different countries?
Great question, Princess. And this kind of harks back to what I used to do. When Jess and I used to work together, this was our business. It was like, go and talk to ministers and find out what's going on. So yes, hugely. And this is always a challenge for a global platform. So most people listening will probably have heard about the Online Safety Bill. So when this started, colleagues from the Department of Culture, Media and Sport came all the way to Devon to our office to come and talk to our team about this idea they had for a white paper about online safety. And all this time later, we're all still having that conversation, but at least we're having the conversation. But I think it's just become so big. They've added on so many things. But we're going to see something by the end of this year. Let's see what happens. But at the same time, we've also had age-appropriate design code in the UK, which is about marketing to kids and data protection. We've got the Digital Services Act, which is rolled out across all of Europe, which is a bit of that, but it's also about protecting commercial business and things like that. But then you have individual things all over Europe, all over the world. So in Australia, they have really strict laws. In New Zealand, they have really strict laws. Brazil have really strict laws, and they're all slightly different. So our approach is, if somebody says that a piece of legislation is really, really valuable and it's going to protect our kids, we would generally adopt that on a platform basis. So for example, age-appropriate design code, we thought was fantastic. Of course, it's difficult to totally comply, but we consulted with them throughout and we continued to work with the ICA really positively. So when they decided to do a California children's code, which was a kind of replica, we were the only tech company that came out and went, hey, do you know what? We support this. We think it's a great idea. Let's work with you to make sure that it's something that's manageable for tech companies. Another one that we've done is no advertising to under 13s. At all. We just made it a blanket policy. We didn't want it to be, well, this is okay and that one's not. So we've just decided that you can't. And that's caused problems because a lot of our games are actually targeted towards under 13s. So they're having to be very creative on how they reach those audiences when they can't just advertise anymore. There are some where it's more tricky. So I'm going to throw the controversial term loot boxes out there. So loot boxes, for anyone who isn't aware, are mechanisms within experiences and games where you can pay for a surprise gift. That's the easiest way of putting it. So it's a bit like getting your football card sticker packs and you don't know which players you're going to have and you get swapsies. So it is banned in certain countries, but it is not banned globally. We have a huge team that I sit in, actually, which is the legal advocacy team. And we have experts who are just watching this stuff and engaging with policymakers all the time to keep abreast of it.
Wow. You know what? We've learned so much, haven't we, Princess?
A ton.
Thank you so much.
Now you need to come on and hang out with me in Roblox.
I really want it.
And here's a super fun fact. So we are moving towards a space where, and Dave, our founder, makes these predictions at the conference every year. And one of them is that about, you know, classrooms using Roblox as an actual classroom, which we have seen a little bit of during COVID. Mm-hmm. But I think we're going to see more of that. But Roblox uses Roblox, for town hall meetings, for team meetings, and even for recruitment now. We're interviewing people within Roblox, avatar to avatar, using voice chat.
Man, how do you choose your avatar? How do you choose?
I would say our town hall meetings descend into utter chaos when you've got hundreds of adult avatars jumping up and down and shrieking at each other. But we're trying to be more professional, but we have literally got Roblox offices replicated and we can go and find other colleagues and go and chat with them in meeting rooms. It's very, very clever.
That's so cool. I was even going to ask, what is the future for Roblox?
We're waiting to see.
Yeah.
You'll be back, right? You're going to come back and tell us.
I would love to come back. But yeah, we're rolling out on some new consoles, which is really exciting. We've just launched this partnership with Meta Quest. So I think VR's going to be, yeah, I think that's going to be really interesting to see what gets created in that space. And obviously that's not really suitable for the younger kids, but for the aged up audience, I think are going to really enjoy that opportunity. And that probably will lend itself to education settings as well, I would imagine.
On that note, right, back to education, it's probably time to thank you so much, Laura. It's been illuminating and interesting and a bit fun as usual as well.
Very fun for me.
Yeah. You've been wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on the show, guys.
Thanks for being here.
Huge thanks to Laura for taking time to chat. Okay, Princess, what are the main things people should take from that chat? What did you pick up from it?
My big one was that there are kind of FBI kind of people in the game watching out to keep sure that everybody's...
I know, isn't that fascinating?
Safe. Yeah, I found that really interesting.
Do they all do that then? Is it like that on every game and platform? Is there like, you don't know who you... Well, you always don't know who you're talking to, but... Are you talking to people from the company?
Yeah, I find that really, really cool. And also, it's just kind of showing how much they prioritise safety as well, which I think is like a key thing.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that I picked up was that idea of this idea of being kind online. Well, how about being yourself online? How about just being online in a way that you would offline? All that kind of stuff. So that actually made sense about kind of context and relationships and behaving appropriately, perhaps. That worked for me.
So my third and final takeaway is that Roblox isn't kind... I know that we call it a game, but it isn't a game in the sense that they provide the infrastructure for people to use so that they can create their own world and there's kind of no limit on creativity. However, when it's then presented like that, it's like it can be a bit difficult to police because, you know, people kind of make their own worlds.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I guess this idea, it's like you bring this amazing space for creativity.
Yeah.
But then what are people going to create? And it being multiplayer so people can do all kinds of different stuff on there. And that whole bit as well about the kind of international dimension of it as well and all the different kind of laws and cultural differences around the world. So,
yeah.
I guess, I mean, we talked a little bit as well about time spent online and that thing about where does their responsibility, you know, the company's responsibility start and end?
Yeah.
And where does the child come into that? Where does a parent, maybe where do educators come in as well?
Yeah.
We haven't cracked all of that, have we, really? You know?
No.
But interesting, it's a different kind of approach to some of the other places that young people could go. This one, pros and cons, right?
Exactly. You've got the limitless creativity, but then you've also got how are we supposed to police this? But we're getting there slowly but surely. We're getting there.
I really hope this episode of Interface has been useful. Thanks so much for being with us. You'll always find links in the show notes of these episodes to learn more about each topic.
Subscribe on your favourite podcast app so episodes are automatically downloaded to your device when they're released.
And please recommend us to a friend or a fellow educator who you think would enjoy this podcast.
You can find us on social media, SWGFL_official, on both X, the artist formerly known as Twitter, and Instagram. Interface is a podcast series from SWGFL, part of the UK Safer Internet Centre.
This is Jess Macbeth and Princess Lowell. Interface is produced by Dave Howard with sound design by Joel Cox and original music from Alex Fraser. It's a Bespoken Media production.